You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
It was really fun, as much as I deplore the draft, both for its moral restrictions on talented people who should be able to work places other than Green Bay if they want to, and because we don't know anything about everything that we're watching on Thursdays to make an assessment about whether a team is actually better or not. But I will walk that back some, Stugatz, because I do believe that is a bit of dated analysis. I do believe that football teams are better at assigning and measuring value all over the field than they ever have been. The information game has gotten a lot better. When you're in a competitive salary-capped sport, you have to be better at winning in the margins, smarter than other people about how you do things. And so they are better at drafting and replenishing their teams, I believe, than they ever have been. I do believe a lot of people watching are going to have trouble knowing who's better or not. But 700,000 people in Detroit, a record number of people in Detroit, and you in nearby Troy.
Well, nearby, I mean.
You guys covered the hell out of that draft. You did it very well. It was great pride to see everything it is that you guys were doing to make the draft a little bit more fun.
It was so much fun sitting back at the DraftKings Sports and Social in Troy, Michigan, watching Billy and Tony go to work. That was really fun. That was really enjoyable. It was. Billy was great.
Yes, he was. He was standing. Yeah. He was wearing a suit. He was doing walk and talks. He was commanding the room. There was a picture of you and a baby. There was a baby that came to see you at a bar. You shouldn't put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show.
Should not
you,
me.
Should you?
Bring, are you asking me?
Should or? You bring a baby to a bar?
Look at the way this baby is looking at Stugatz. Can we zoom in on the baby's face? Because this baby is like, what alien is my dad standing next to?
He sees that guy is near his father's pocket and that his father's not watching his back pocket. And you got to watch that right hand. You got to be careful about what
that
it is.
Right hand has his wallet.
That's right. What you can steal from daddy there.
The baby's head is like three times bigger than Stugatz's head. I don't know.
It is strange.
Perspective.
It is really strange that the
baby. Most of us love babies, so.
Yeah, exactly right.
Dan, I was flattered because I walked in there. I drove about 40 minutes to get to Troy, Michigan, and I was very nervous.
You didn't drive, you were chauffeured.
Well, someone drove me, you're right. And I was very nervous about the amount of people that would show up to see us. But then I got there, and the place was packed, and they were all there to see us, and the draft, of course.
Right.
But they wanted to say hello. They wanted autographs. They watched the draft with us. It was very moving, I got to tell you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jessica, do you feel any remorse about
babies have big heads.
Attacking that baby? That's a very substantive head.
It's all perspective.
Yes. Stugatz is a very small guy, and this baby is very confused about who this man is and why he smells like
cigarettes. Let's not do this to the baby.
Baby's got a beautiful face.
Yes, a beautiful head.
The Giants, by the way, day one, B+.
Wow.
We also found out why Dan wasn't part of our coverage, because he was in New York at the draft, as you can see here with this photo.
celebrating it with my soul, with my spirit, because I like to be there so much. The Giants, incidentally, you mentioned they took that Penn State tight end, Billy, because you cannot have a tight end in Darren Waller, who has been talking so publicly about wanting to retire during the season. Once a football player is feeling like he wants to retire,
it's coming soon.
It's yeah. You got it. Like that. That is
weird time for him, huh? Retirement, divorce.
Yeah.
What's he going to be doing?
He hasn't yet retired, but it's a hard sport to play if your heart's not in it. Like if you're thinking about quitting, that quitting is going to come sooner.
Speaking of Penn State, I saw a headline in People of all places that it said Penn State football coach drove 57 miles to be with both of his players as they got drafted into the NFL. And I thought about this for 2 seconds. And I was like, 57 miles is closer than Stugatz's drive to work every morning. Why are we giving are we giving him credit for this? In the Midwest, 57 miles is like a ride to your grandma's house on Sunday for dinner.
It's
breeze. It's not far.
Yes.
You close your eyes and you're there.
We should have spent those 57 miles chasing after James Franklin's chauffeured car, yelling at him for not winning more with 2 first-round picks. That's what we should have been doing.
He's going to become one of the all-time greats now that they've expanded the playoff, though. He's right there in that sweet spot.
Yep.
An eighth best team in the nation gets in. All right.
Sign me up.
Can I ask a question that I don't mean to be – I don't mean this to come off the way that it's going to come off.
It always does.
Because we're talking about – I know. We're talking about James Franklin and how now he's going to be like one of the all-time greats because of the expanded playoff. So now he'll get like a playoff banner for just being in the top 12 or whatever. I went to Disney on Ice this past weekend at the UM Watsco Center, and I saw a lot of NIT banners hanging. Why?
That's commonplace for basketball programs.
It's a loser mentality. NIT.
Not for good ones.
Yeah, I mean, NIT banners. I was watching and I was like, come on.
Well,
man,
let's make some
room for the, you know, real tournament banners.
Fresh on the scene, blue blood. But did you see the size of the Final Four banner?
I was at a weird angle. I think it was behind actually the curtain of the
hard to miss.
Yeah.
The NIT used to be the premier men's basketball tournament. So really, if you're just paying homage to history.
Before Miami had a program, I think.
So you're alleging that that's the 69th best program in the country.
Well, if you win, you have to win the tournament to be the 69th best.
That's right.
Nice.
I want to show some video here of what I thought was the big football story of the weekend, which is David Tepper, the totally crazy owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Tepper!
He walked into a local restaurant, Stugatz, and here's the B-roll, and there was a sign outside, evidently, that read, "Let's allow the coach and the general manager to make the pick this year." And Tepper comes in and steals the host's hat, the host's baseball cap. And I don't know. We don't have audio of this. I hope that this is amusing and funny, but I don't think that he's being amusing and funny. I think
hand on the chin is rarely amusing and funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, taking the hat off is rarely amusing and funny.
That's very disrespectful, by the way.
His hand's on, like, the podium of the greeter there. I don't like that. Oh. Handshake.
We'll shake at
I'm
the
glad
end.
that ended nicely.
Belly tap.
In all fairness to him, it did end with a handshake. Yeah.
It is a bully move though to come in and put your bully elbow on his bully pulpit and take off the host's hat for
some
reason.
So is throwing a drink at somebody.
He did that too.
That's generally when they told you 15 minutes and it's been 35. Yeah. The elbow goes on the table then.
Mm-hmm.
Hand on chin.
Like, what do you do in that situation? That happened to me a few months ago. I was like at a bachelorette party and we had a reservation and it was already too late. The reservation was for like 9:30. And I'm like doing the math. I'm like, by the time we sit down and get food, it's going to be like 10:15. So we need to sit down right now.
As somebody who's been scarred by my dad huffing and puffing anytime we wait for any seat, at a restaurant, I just let it go. I don't.
Because I was in the spot where I awkwardly had to speak for like 12 people.
That's the worst.
And I was like, hey, it's been a half hour and you haven't seated us. It's 10 o'clock. Like, do you know when the table's going to be ready? And they're like, no, we're running behind. And I'm like, okay.
You puffed your chest out and you felt pretty good about what you were doing there for a second and accomplished nothing and then scampered back.
And then I was like, you guys, I argued with them for 5 minutes and they said the table's still not ready.
You did your best, though.
We ate at 11 o'clock that night.
Where does the great feeling in a restaurant rank of having the waiter compliment your order? Where do you rank that in terms
top
of
five.
Great feeling? Yes.
It brings me back to, like, what's good. That's just one of those things in life. When you order something and they say good choice, that's a nice little fist bump.
They say that to everyone. They're just working the tip.
That's not true.
Yeah, no. They say, that's what I would have had. If I was a waiter, that's what I'd say. That's what I would have had.
You got to gauge whether they do it to everyone at the table. Because Billy's right. Well, if they do it to everyone at the table.
You think all waiters are being disingenuous? You don't think any of them are genuinely like, wow, I'm connecting with you. That was a great order.
I just love when they recommend something and then you're like, I don't really like that. It's like, it's not that good anyways. Like, they're always trying to just go with what.
I don't like that move.
Don't say that.
Never tell me something's not good.
They go with the flow. They're going for tips. Saying, Billy's right. I mean, think they care about your order or whether or not you nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean,
put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Is the waiter lying to you when he compliments your choice of order?
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Dan Le Batard.
All of us who were watching college football elevated everything the weekend was because we missed football in general so very much.
You didn't watch the ending of UTEP Jacksonville State. It was awesome.
A doozy.
Boom.
Stugatz.
It's such a lane for you. Just everything in college football is awesome. Any single thing that happens, she gets deliriously happy about.
Don't you miss viewing sports through that prism, though? Like, I'm envious of Lucy. Like, I wish that I could still be happy.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Hey, Le Batard, you've been replaced. I'm going to watch it for this young lady because, you know, she knocks me out.
Dan, you're now legally required to give me your salary. Hey, Dan, it's me, Lucy. I'm here in Detroit. Stugatz is also here. I haven't seen him one single time, though, so I don't necessarily know if I believe that. Allegedly, he's staying in the same hotel as me. I don't know. I'm going to talk to the fans. I'm going to check the vibes, because this is the perfect intersection in the world for me. You got sicko NFL fans and your sicko college football fan. That would be me, Lucy. You forget my name a lot, so. Being a Lions fan, what have the last few years been like with Dan Campbell?
It's been amazing.
If he asked for a kidney, would you give it to him?
Yes. If he's going to give us a Super Bowl ring, I would give him anything.
Well, I've been told that we're not all truly Lions fans here. You're a fan of
the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you see the way he said that with shame. What is the best part of being a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, lately it ain't nothing. We ain't won in so goddamn long. That shit pissed me off. The best thing about being a Cowboys fan is, I would say, Michael Irvin. he get high and he talk about prostitutes and cocaine.
Who's your favorite person on the show?
Lucy, of course. I have not seen Stugatz. Are you sure he's in Detroit?
I haven't seen him either.
He goes to a lot of things. I haven't seen him yet, though.
By the way, Levitard, I live in Tampa. It's only a short ride up the 75, but bring Poppy with you. We're going to go out for a good Cuban sandwich.
We need a third wide receiver. Xavier Worthy would fit that bill.
Very happy with our current quarterback situation. I'm hoping that now we pick a top-end receiver.
Definitely do not go for Penix.
Who do you want to see the Lions draft today?
Offensive lineman.
This is a team that needs help in the secondary.
I would like them to draft anything in a defensive backfield.
I would really like Kool-Aid because I think we need another corner.
But our priority should be a defensive backfield because that's the only reason we weren't in the Super Bowl last year.
Cooper DeJean.
I want Romo Odunze. I'm a big fan of him.
Everyone wants a corner, and they don't want Cooper. And I don't know why they don't want Cooper DeJean.
Look, we need to draft a new owner, president, and GM, goddammit, because they hit the snooze button.
All right, who do you think is the most overrated player in this draft?
Caleb Williams.
I think he is a Johnny Manziel 2.0.
I don't care. I want him to suffer for the next decade plus.
I think J.J. McCarthy.
It's the right answer. We're in Michigan. No one wants to say that J.J. is bad.
Suffer and suffer and suffer.
As you can see, I have a phenomenal view. I can see so much, and it's definitely not freezing out. And the Bears just drafted Caleb Williams. How are you feeling after that pick?
I'm pumped. They did the right thing.
Bo Nix has sold Tim Tebow. Drafted to the Broncos, really great in college, prolific college career, super in the God. Bo Nix is Tim Tebow.
Initial reaction, I'm depressed, but we could bounce back, you know. We need a wide receiver.
The Falcons just drafted Michael Penix Jr. on purpose. You didn't need him. Everyone's in shock. I don't know what's going on.
Let's go, Giants. Come on.
Go, Ravens. Yeah.
Everybody just come and yell your favorite team. Well, that was the 2024 NFL Draft, and you may see from the stage behind me that it might not necessarily be over, but that's not true. I stayed till the very end, and I'm so happy that Cooper DeJean got drafted to the team that he got drafted to. I think it's a great fit. I think that him and that team are going to do great, and I got to say, as much as I love this job and love you guys, I love my fingers and toes more. So I will be choosing them. I'm going to go to where there's heat and insulation. Thank you.
I was disappointed that Cooper DeJean didn't go in the first round so that all of America could be hugely confused by the white cornerback in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Feels like Michael Irvin caught a stray.
Yeah. Unnecessary, man.
I was punter.
Playmaker.
Thank you, Billy. I was punter. Torrey Taylor went 122nd overall. He's a great punter, Stugatz. And Iowa produces only tight ends and great punters. That's all that they produce. Did you see what Sean Payton, with a sly smile on his face? This is how Stugatz would handle it.
Well, it's always how Payton handles it. I mean,
well, you know what I'm talking about here?
I don't, no.
Then why did you say it's always Payton?
Because Sean Payton is a guy, when he does things, it's always a sly smile. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't care what it is he did. Okay. I'm just telling you he had a sly smile.
Well, I'll tell you what he did.
Sean Payton.
This is how you would do it, and this would be the sly smile. The Vikings trade up to get J.J. McCarthy, and Sean Payton comes into his press conference and is like, yeah, I spent all that time making everyone think I was going to try and trade up. I tricked the Vikings is basically what he's saying. And
provided a smoke screen.
To trade up and get J.J. McCarthy because Sean Payton was lurking. And everyone knows Sean Payton doesn't have a quarterback. He's got a really dreadful quarterback room. And he was hiding and taking a bit of credit for the idea that the Vikings took someone higher than they wanted to.
Isn't that a reason to root for J.J. McCarthy?
No.
What do you mean? I want Peyton, who baited the Vikings into taking J.J. McCarthy, to be wrong on this.
I thought one of the interesting things about the draft, Stugatz, one of the few for me, is that we are now so obsessed with the finances in this sport, and you have to have a quarterback on a cheap contract in order to be able to fill out your roster in a way that can give you a competitive advantage over teams that don't have a great quarterback at a cheap roster on a cheap salary. I thought a bunch of quarterbacks who shouldn't have gone that high went high, and J.J. McCarthy's the top of the list. In a previous year, there's no way that you take the risk and the salary hit of having to pay someone like that. But now it's less of a risk to take a flyer on someone. And while I understand all of the criticism on Cousins and Penix in Atlanta, you're not a Cousins away, Atlanta. Like, Cousins is going to go and do there what he did in Minnesota, which isn't going to be enough in Atlanta. And while I understand that you don't want to not get him somebody who helps you right away, Penix does not help Cousins right away. And given the way that you're paying Cousins, I understand why it is that so many people would question that decision. But I want a quarterback cheap, not a quarterback expensive.
Well, but they have a quarterback cheap and one that's expensive.
Yeah. The decision to question isn't so much so the Penix selection at that point, then, the way that you're describing it.
It's Cousins.
It's the decision to give Cousins over $100 million, because when you hold the two up side by side, they don't really make sense together.
Falcons day one grade, C.
Wow.
According to
NFL.com.
I don't think that deserved a double wow. Can you
C plus overall, because day three they got a B.
Wow.
But it's a C today. It could be an A plus later on, you know, if Penix turns out to be one of those quarterbacks. I mean, it could be.
But how do you find out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the doing of both that's the head scratcher. You can do one or you can do the other, but doing one after you did the other, I think, left people very confused about what their strategy was.
Well, the economics of it do not make sense, because you have Cousins 4 years, $100 million, and if you want to get value from Penix inside that rookie contract, you have to do it inside the first 5 years. So how are they going to play this? I have no idea.
The good thing about it is so many people play in that safe sport, and there's no way Cousins will get hurt. No chance.
Michael Penix, someone without an injury history. The other thing is that he was in college for a while. He's an older quarterback. Yeah. So it's not like Lamar Jackson, where you're drafting him into the NFL and he's really young, and by the time he gets to that second contract, he's still really young. Penix is a little bit older.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time. So saddle up for action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who downloaded the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses and then watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code DLS. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states. To open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires 2-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus release in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
Don Levitard.
World RAR 3.
Stugatz.
We're going to get that off the ground.
World RAR 3, colon, our group chat has a pretty good feeling about this one.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I'd like to talk about some of the things going on locally here, because Craig Mish, who does a very good job covering the Marlins,
Mishy,
is basically taunting Billy by saying this is the worst Marlins team there's ever been.
Things aren't off to a great start in the Peter Bendix era, I would say. But it's early. It's still early. No need to
plenty
panic.
Of time.
Yeah. 162, you know what I mean?
So here is, well, it's over. And
on track for 30 wins?
Weather, yeah.
They have put themselves in quite the hole, I will say that.
It's over. It is a long
What's
season.
Over? Everything is
everything
over?
Everything is over. Oh. Yes, everything is over. In fact, the conversation around the Marlins, Craig Mish is posting worst March, April I've ever seen in Marlins history. Truly abysmal baseball. Mistakes all over the place. Basic plays not executed. I've seen every season rock bottom 6-23. And Barry Jackson is now saying, why is baseball in this town? What are we doing? Why are we wasting everybody's time?
That was such a Barry Jackson tweeted, I know there's intrinsic value in having a major league team, but if the new taxpayer-funded stadium could not and will not ever result in anything more than a paltry payroll under any owner, is there a point? More an existential question. And I saw that come across my timeline and was like, huh, Marlins must have lost again.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Barry? I have an example for you. Because the Panthers were pretty bad for a long time. Wow. And you look at them now, it can happen. Okay? It doesn't look good right now, but the baseball team is here. It's not going anywhere. And they'll figure it out eventually, maybe 10 years from now.
Wow. What about the Marlins ownership or front office makes you think that they are capable and or willing to turn it around? Genuinely asking.
A Rays guy seems good.
They're my fourth favorite team.
Does he?
Said Kim Ng. And
yep.
Not here anymore. Yeah. This was a playoff team last year. You would think that means hockey sticks, right? I mean, and everything's pointing up.
Their two best pitchers are
well, here. Their entire rotation has been absolutely decimated. Like this past weekend, Jesus Luzardo also went down with it. It's like, it's almost laughable if you didn't want to cry at how bad the pitching situation has been for them this season and how everyone has gotten hurt. And seemingly the solution that they came up with was, let's move the closer into the starting rotation. And he was dreadful and also injured.
It's a bit dire, though, because you felt like you nailed the manager pick, and now the manager's not going to be the long-term answer there. You had faith in the previous front office because they showed you proof was in the pudding, and now you're giving yourself yet to another rebuilding process. Crowds are bad. It's just dire.
Well, that's the thing that, like, so it's bad now, right? And we're headed towards a situation where at the deadline they're going to be sellers, right? And this is going to sound meaner than I intended to, but who do you want from this team?
San Diego wants Arise and Luzardo.
Well, we'll see what they get for them, I guess.
That's a start. Yeah. Okay. Cool. But this is the start of a. It feels like they tore down a franchise that was one to get excited over. And so I think that the frustration would be, yeah, just another reset. How many of these can we endure?
There just wasn't really any improvement from last year to this year. And you knew that you were losing, you know, your ace.
And they were already like a bubble team last year.
Yeah.
Playoff team.
It's just weird. The last two playoff appearances, you would think, would mean momentum and something to build on, and almost it was like an end destination for teams that were building something. At least that was what they sold with Jeter. The playoffs weren't just a destination. We were trying to build something sustainable by building up the farm system, and almost immediately back down to earth, another pseudo rebuild, get back to the playoffs. That's the destination, tear down, rebuild.
It's not back to earth. It's back to the bottom of the earth.
Yeah.
Like it's horrific. It's what you cannot have when you are trying to build on the momentum of having a playoff team, and the Marlins never have momentum. They have so much trouble building and sustaining momentum because they've done so much damage to generations of baseball fans in South Florida.
The frustrating part about this team is this team, by record, is the worst team in baseball, but they're not. They just make such stupid mistakes.
Defense is bad. They're not base running mistakes.
They just have all kinds of dumb errors that just put them in terrible spots that are unnecessary errors. Like, they're not good enough to play as dumb as they've been playing on certain days.
You miss Mattingly?
No, they haven't had sustained success in that building.
Isn't Skip's fault, by the way.
No.
Like, I just want, like, I don't... This
can't be.
This is not Skip's fault.
After 2003, you could argue that the Marlins had their best run of seasons because while they didn't make the playoffs, they were going for it. They were in the conversation. They had meaningful games late in the summer and in September. And the question that everyone wondered aloud was, well, if this kind of effort would be put forth in a new building, baseball can really work in this market. They move into that new building with two playoff appearances, but nothing really sustained after that. You don't actually have a true sample as whether or not this sport can actually work in this market.
Chris Cody did say something, though, that is worth revisiting, because everything the Panthers have done, the culmination of which is now the single most championship-worthy hockey team we've ever had in this town. They're up 3-1 over their haunting nemesis, Tampa. And what I've noticed in watching those playoff games is that Tampa has a lot fewer players who are willing to take a puck to the face than mm-hmm. they used to have. All of those players that they used to have who would just slide in front of shots and just clog up
yeah.
the toilet of playoff hockey in front of the net where you couldn't get any beauty long shots off because everything is hitting a Tampa Bay Lightning player. Weren't there a couple of games yesterday where players just kept leaving the ice because they were being hit in the face with
yeah.
the puck?
There were about 15 real life minutes where between two games you had four players get hit in the head with a hockey puck. One player bleeding from the ear, leaves for a period, comes back to that game after receiving stitches. Another really sad one in Colorado where a Jets player goes straight to the hospital. You know, we always talk about how playoff hockey, it feels different. And you could say the same thing about playoff NBA, but where it comes to the NHL is it's a quantifiable difference. Totals go down a full goal. Block shots in terms of player props and hits. These things skyrocket. You see as many hits in the first period as you see in full games during the regular season. So it's a different style of game. It hurts to sacrifice the body.
My God,
these things are traveling at 160 miles per hour. There's not much protection for you, but Tampa Bay was one of those teams, and the Panthers fell victim to it, where Panthers tried to get all the possession in their zone that they could, and they could never get the puck to Vasilevskiy to save because there were just guys throwing their bodies around. Now, Tampa has got a couple of different things. Some of those players that were taking those shots just got to a salary structure that they couldn't cheat their way around anymore. So really important role players have found other ways. Now, to their credit, they've done a great job in replacing those guys. They made good decisions in paying Cirelli. They made good decisions in playing Paul. But you look at their defense, and without Sergachev, it was a dire situation there. The cap is hard, unless you're Vegas.
You have to end this tonight, though, right? I mean, you have to.
I don't think so.
No. You don't give that team any sort of momentum. All of a sudden, it's game seven at home. You're tied 1-1, and Stamkos and Kucherov are out there.
I'm
saying, if you lose tonight, all of a sudden the pressure's on. You lose at Tampa, and then we're staring at a game seven back here. I don't want it. End it tonight.
Snowball starts rolling. Yep. Can't control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't give that team confidence, Mike. I'm telling you.
Okay. No, the heart of the champion, they're gonna be hard to kill. Chris and I went to the game four on Saturday, and it was actually a pretty good a way to leave a building. If the events are you lose game 4, you can't have a better situation than you being up 3-1 in the series. I can't really muster it up. They had difficulty looking us in our eyes.
Yeah.
I think it's time to break out the old Mortal Kombat sound.
Finish him!
Yes.
For the Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm. Just be done with this already. I hate Stugatz. I really dislike this, that again, the playoff games, Celtics, Heat, and Panthers, Lightning, they're competing against each other.
There's a third time in this postseason here in the first round, and you used to say that it wasn't, well, they just don't care about South Florida as a market. No, there's Bruins Celtics conflicts. There have been in that market. This is really unfortunate. There's a recent thing where the league's just decided we don't care about those market conflicts. This is going when we want them. If you're a South Florida sports fan, this is the third time in short series that you've had to make a decision as to whether or not you're going to devote most attention to and your dollar to.
Plus, you have Marlins Nationals.
Yeah, avoiding the sweep. Big game for the Fish tonight. Yeah. Got to avoid that sweep.
Finish him.
Do you think we see Bobrovsky again today? I think if he wasn't pulled in game 4, then he's going to go out there. But in looking back on that game 4 performance, Sergei Bobrovsky, who was great this entire series, he lost you that game. He was really bad. Let in a couple soft ones. I was shocked that he wasn't pulled there. What has made Bob's season so good and what they kind of figured out with Bob was managing his minutes and no matter what, giving Solars, who's a great backup goalie, by the way, led the league in goals against average, giving him an occasional start. I'm also of the mind in the playoffs that you don't pull a hot goalie until he gives you reason to. Well, in game four in that first period, Bob gave you reason to, and you probably win that game if you make the decision to pull Bob. Winnipeg's pulled Hellebuck.
They were down 3-0, 15 minutes in?
That honestly is the most interesting part to me, is our mentality down 3-0. This team has been so good at coming back. We were just like, if we score the first goal in this second period, we're still in this. Usually 3-0 in hockey feels like a million point. It was just, this team has been so good at coming back that we were not that down when we were down 3-0. And then the second period, that's second intermission.
Yeah.
Oh, we were alive.
It felt good.
Oh, yeah.
Dan, you should have felt the air in that barn.
Nobody was looking
when
at
Sam
us.
When Sam Reinhart hit the crossbar, that would have made it 4-4. You could hear a pin drop in that barn.
I've never been heckled as little in another city's arena. Like I probably got heckled twice the entire game.
You two hung out together throughout the game?
Yeah. We sat right next to each other. We sat right in front of Luongo. Oh, he was getting a handshake or a high five.
Wow.
Bill Zito just sits there. Whether we score, whether we give up a goal, he just sits there.
But if you're sitting there next to Luongo, you can't go down 3-0. It takes the air. Like, you wanted to be hugging Luongo.
Yeah.
But
then I wanted to finish off the comeback just because it would have been, in my mind, full embrace with Bill Zito and Roberto Luongo. Like, we did this together, but we didn't have that moment.
But what Chris is saying is, if you go to the game, it'd be an odd thing to do, and you're only watching Bill Zito, you would have no idea if the Panthers are up or down. I mean,
stoic.
His hand? Doesn't shake.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a question. I think Five Reasons Sports was asking this. Where do we put already in the pantheon of great coaches in South Florida sports history, Paul Maurice? Like, where do we place
him? We get very excited anytime we have a remember there was a Herald sports page cover of Jimmy Johnson, Pat Riley, and Don McLean?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Doug?
Doug.
Doug McLean.
Yeah.
And Jim Leland, coaching central.
Right. Unless he loses the series and then, he gets fired.
Yeah, Paul Maurice is a really good coach, but he's going to need to win a title. He's going to need to win a title. By the way, Andrew Brunette, thank God that guy's not our coach anymore.
Mike, can we talk about the day we had watching hockey yesterday and gambling on hockey? Because we were having a day, and then Mike broke one of the cardinal rules of sports gambling.
You don't talk about the next game.
Wow. You don't talk about the next game during the current game.
Yeah.
We got off to a good start. We had the Lanch. I told you to pound the Lanch. We pounded the Lanch.
Told you to pound McKinnon. We were pounding McCarr and McKinnon. Yeah. We were just pounding Lanch stuff left and right.
We're pounding the Preds. We were having a day, and the Preds are up 3-1. Mike told me must-win game. They have to have it. Vancouver, their third goalie this series, I believe.
Third goalie.
Yeah.
We were on Forsberg. We were on Josie.
What a
we
collapse.
Were cruising.
No, we're up 3-1. And
people
Mike
are chugging out of catfish.
So this is what I'm saying, Chris. Mike starts telling me who he likes in the next game. Thank you. While that game is going on, and I'm like, we lost. We're going to lose here.
Sure enough, up with 2 minutes and 48 seconds
empty
left
netter.
In the game, and Vancouver with a pulled goalie situation, up 3-1. The Preds hit the post on an empty net, and then Vancouver somehow improbably ties the game. I don't know how Nashville's lost both of these games, because in game three, they outshot Vancouver 31-12. Vancouver's the first team to win a playoff game with 12 shots there. The Preds and Andrew Brunette just find ways to lose. I think 15 seconds into overtime, Vancouver just ends up killing the Preds. That is a bad, bad beat.
When you say it hits the post on an empty netter, people are probably thinking it was a full ice shot. No. They were right in front of the net.
Little soft backhand.
I am texting with Mike back and forth the entire day. But when that happens, and I gave him Ranger picks that came in. I told him to take the Rangers, who's going to score points and all this. But the last text I got from Mike, and I didn't get another text, was Christ Almighty.
Once you hit the post there, up 3-1 with a couple minutes left, you can see the rest of it coming.
Oh,
and when it happens, it is your worst, most negative thoughts come to life and mushrooming. But before we get to the famous video of former Panthers coach Andrew Brunette having a bad conversation with police officers while getting a DUI in a golf cart, I want to play first. The Nashville coach, or no, a Nashville fan, Stu Gatz, drinking a beer out of a fish. A fish I'm going to go ahead and assume is dead, but you can't be sure. So here's the B-roll of that. Let's see what we've got.
All right, only in Nashville, Allie Walker.
Oh,
my God.
Come on. unpleasant, fishy beer. What's wrong with these hockey fans? What's the matter with them?
It's the best time of year, man.
You can't have a fish-flavored beer. Come on. You can't drink beer out of a fish's mouth.
Did you watch Taylor Lewan's daughter chugging? She chugged water after her dad slammed down a beer. They got a crazy atmosphere in Nashville. Those fans did not deserve what's happened to them over the last two games.
Nashville used to have the greatest draft crowd there's ever been for an NFL draft before Detroit swamped them. It just took 1 year of good Detroit football to bring 700,000 people out to the draft.
Would you rather drink beer out of a catfish or your own shoe?
Shoe.
Shoe.
Yeah.
Me too.
Really?
Over dead fish?
Yeah.
That I don't know how it's been refrigerated.
Foot?
What about Greg Cody's shoe?
Ooh. Catfish.
Foot?
Ooh.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste. And is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.